We're going to enter into the third chapter of the book of Ruth here today. In our gospel, Jesus says in verse 33, "I've told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble." We know this, and as Pastor Corey was mentioning this morning, you've heard of the 1994 movie, Four Weddings and a Funeral, haven't you? Well, we flipped that this week and did four funerals and a wedding. And so we're weary, we're tired, we're spent. We're reminded all too much this week that this world has trouble. But we shouldn't be surprised as believers in Christ. I mean, Jesus himself said we will have trouble. And maybe that's why he says in Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Between Jesus and Paul and James and John and the other writers of the New Testament, we are encouraged to live this Christian life with some of these words: endure, finish, stand firm, bear, run, persevere, fulfill, work, suffer, toil, and strive in this Christian life. The Christian life, friends, requires hard work. Work that leaves us oftentimes at the end of our rope. Work that leaves us desperate and in need of a guardian Redeemer ourselves. Let us pray. Lord Christ, thank you for the words that are before us here in the book of Ruth. Thank you for your faithfulness, which is wrought throughout the book, and especially the promise from Boaz to Ruth that he would be her guardian redeemer. So help us to hear from you this day, our guardian redeemer, and your faithful promise to us. May the words then of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Naomi has a desire for Ruth that was recorded way back at the beginning of the book in chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Do you remember that? Naomi has lost her husband and her two sons. Ruth, as a daughter-in-law, has lost her husband, and so has Orpah, her other daughter-in-law. And then, as recorded in that first chapter, the writer notes, "Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness, as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me.'" And here's Naomi's wish, prayer, blessing on Ruth: "May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." This is what Naomi so desires for Ruth. And Naomi takes it upon herself here in our text today to make sure that Ruth finds that rest in another husband. Ruth has committed to Naomi. She has said to Naomi, "Your land will be my land, your people will be my people, your God will be my God." And now Naomi wants to repay that kindness. The guardian redeemer is the one who would be raised up to fulfill that kindness. Verse 20 and chapter 2 of Ruth. She added, did Naomi, about Boaz, that "this man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers." And in the history of Israel, it was provided for in the law that a family member would be raised up as a guardian redeemer for those who were widowed, for those who were lost. As recorded in the 25th chapter of Leviticus, we find that God is always there to redeem those who are in need. Whether it's property, whether it's people, whether it's finances, whether it's social status, God always has a way to redeem his weary and hurting people. If one of your fellow Israelites becomes poor and sells some of their property, Leviticus 25 and 25, their nearest relative is to come and redeem what they have sold. God has set up for Israel a plan for redemption. Now, hopefully you're picking up the foreshadowing and the undertones of the need for and God's blessing of our lives in a guardian redeemer. And so Naomi comes up with this plan. Follow along with me in Ruth chapter 3, if you will. One day, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find you a home. Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor." And here comes her plan. Did you hear her plan as it was read for us? She says this: "Wash, put on perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he's lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." Now, we can't ignore the sexual innuendo here, but this isn't a passage about sex. This is a passage about love and a passage about redemption. And so Naomi's plan for Ruth goes this way. She says to her, "Get fancy, look good, wash and put on perfume, put on your best dress, and then be timely," she says. "Wait until he's eaten and had his fill." This means that Boaz is going to be in a good mood. "I don't know about you, but after I've had a great steak and a nice glass of Malbec to go with it, I feel great." She says, "Show submission. Uncover his feet and then lie at his feet. Lie down there at his feet. Wake him." Now, we didn't hear that overtly in the text, but why would Naomi say to Ruth, "Uncover his feet"? That seems kind of weird. Well, there's nothing going on here that has any spiritual significance except to say that as it cools down at night and your feet are uncovered, what happens? You wake up. And so she's planning ahead that Boaz would wake up because his feet were cold and find Ruth at his feet. And then when he wakes up, Naomi says to Ruth, "Pop the question." What does that mean? See, what Naomi is asking Ruth to do is make a marriage proposal. It wasn't that all uncommon that a woman would make herself available to a man, especially a guardian redeemer of the family, by proposal. And it was the mother's responsibility in the people of Israel to make sure that proposal happened. Naomi is using her means to accomplish God's plan. It's a reminder that God uses us in his plan for redemption and salvation. Boaz wakes up in verse 7. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" Boaz asks. "I'm your servant Ruth, she said. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." This was the proposal. If he spread his garment over her, this would be a symbolic act of him promising that he will take care of her. And as a guardian redeemer, he had that responsibility. How does Boaz then respond to Ruth and also to Naomi? he makes a proclamation first of thankfulness. Verse 10, "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, do not be afraid. I will do for you all you ask." You hear the gratitude in the heart of Boaz for his, perhaps, we don't know yet, to be wife. He's grateful that she has come and made herself available to him. It's a gift, really, to Boaz to be seen as a guardian redeemer. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes in my life of faith, I don't always see Jesus as being thankful to be my guardian and my redeemer. Sometimes I come to him guilty. Sometimes I come to him afraid. Sometimes I come to him as if I'm imposing on the living Christ. But Jesus is thankful. Jesus is grateful any and every time I call out to him. It is a gift, really, that we come to Christ and ask him, "Will you be my guardian redeemer?" Boaz hears this proposal and is grateful for it and responds by saying, "My daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask." And then he says, "But there is another one before me." In the succession, in the order of family, there is one who needs to step up or can step up before me. And Boaz, being a man of integrity and character, says, "I must go find this one and first guardian redeemer and ask him if he's willing to redeem you." But, he says at the end of verse 13, "If he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." Sometimes, to lift our spirits, all we need to know is that we have been promised what we so desire. As I live life, I come to know more and more in that life that Christ promises me, us, everything that we desire. When we feel weary, he invites us to come, that he might give us rest. When we feel heavy and put upon, he says to us, "Take off your yoke and put on my own." Boaz will be lifting a great yoke off Ruth and her mother-in-law Naomi as their guardian redeemer. He will begin to provide for them again, sustenance in the way of food, shelter, all of the necessary parts and bits of life, social status, a future, and yes, as we will see, even descendants. This text, I believe, helps remind us that we too have a guardian redeemer. Think about the story of Naomi and Ruth. Could they get any lower? I don't think so. Naomi has lost her husband and her two sons. Ruth has lost her husband. They've traveled miles from Moab down to Bethlehem. They find themselves in Bethlehem, two women who have zero status in the community, one a Moabite even. Ruth's gleaning for food. Most likely, they're sleeping out on the streets. They're homeless. They have no place. They are in desperate need of one to bring them redemption. How about you? Do you need redemption? Are you desiring a guardian? Do you feel and find yourself weary, tapped out at the end of your rope? Because this story reminds us, it transcends the human experience. This story reminds us that we have a guardian, a redeemer, who desperately desires to make our lives right, to lift us out of the muck and mire of life, to walk alongside, to go ahead of us, to be our rear guard, as Pastor Dave regularly prays, as we walk through this life. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, as we heard it read for us, Paul reminds us to remember Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ. Sometimes we forget about Jesus. We put him on a shelf. We leave him in the church. We don't walk with him daily. And it's a great gift to come back to that understanding that Jesus, at the end of the day, lived and died his life that we might be redeemed. That was God's plan for us, redemption. You read throughout the whole Bible. I mean, Leviticus goes way back, but even in the book of Genesis, we're reminded that we need redemption from our sins. We need to be made right and whole and restored and be made perfect and holy and righteous. And that can only happen through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so Paul can say definitively, if we died with him, if we've died with Jesus, we also will live. If we endure, we will also reign with him. But then the formula seems to change. The other side of the coin is, if we disown him, he will also disown us. And so now we're expecting the negative expression of redemption. Not only if we die, will we live. If we endure, we will reign. So we get into this pattern or this formula. We think, well, then if we disown, he disowns us. And so when we read these words, if we are faithless, we expect to hear in this formula that he is also faithless to us. Don't we? That's how it should go. That's how a logical argument would be made. But this is a surprising twist at the end of this text. If we are faithless, no. God isn't faithless. He remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. This is the gift of the guardian redeemer for us. What a great reminder this day that God has done everything through the person and work of Jesus, that he would be our guardian and our redeemer, and not just in this life, but in the next. God's promise here is, you will live and you will reign with me, not because of your faithfulness, but because of mine and mine alone. Jesus said in John 10, the end of verse 10, this is the great passage where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd and you are the sheep. Jesus says, I have come that they, the sheep, that we might have life and have it to the full. He differentiates life, and I believe he's saying this life as opposed to the eternal life we live with him. We both have life here and now and in eternity. We don't have to wait for it. God provides it for us. I don't know how you feel today. Maybe it's not weary and maybe it's not tired. I don't know how you're going to feel tomorrow. Maybe it's not weary and maybe it's not tired. Or next week, or the next month, or the next year. But if you're a human person, you will feel weary and tired. You will need, as you cry out, a guardian redeemer to restore you, to extend to you the kindness that Naomi is now requesting of Boaz to Ruth. You know, when we sang this morning, we sang about our guardian redeemer. Did you pick that up? Guide me ever, great redeemer, was our opening hymn. And I want to close with the first words there, so that they might become real and alive and true for us as we remember Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. We sang, guide me ever, great Redeemer, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but you are mighty. Hold me with your powerful hand. Amen. Please stand now as we sing together our hymn.